Good morning. Good to see you here. We're glad that you've joined us here at First Church this morning. Let me show you a picture. The staff and I, or most of the staff and I, have been gone part of the week to the Catalyst Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. We actually drove back home yesterday. We had a wonderful, really wonderful time. It was me and Claire, of course, and Dan and Angela and Ross. Have you ever seen Ross happier? We were actually eating at a restaurant. That was why there. But anyway, and then and Connie and Don, we had a great, great time together. And I want to show you something here in just a minute, a series of pictures. The conference was marvelous. And you'll see a little bigger bounce in our step this morning, just being able to spend, a couple days with almost 14,000 different leaders from around the country. It was great, and really around the world. Connie, this was Connie's first time, and she was like a little kid, and she kept seeing people, and she wanted to get her picture taken with them. And every time it was a different person, her smile got a little brighter, okay? For example, the first one, she had her picture taken with me, okay? And, she was smiling, but, she doesn't look overly excited there, does she? Okay? But then after that, actually one of the speakers, she got her picture taken with this lady. Her name is Roma Downing. Okay? Are you old enough to remember Touched by an Angel? Yeah, that was her. And that's actually her husband. Her husband's name is Mark Burnett. Now, you may not recognize him, but you know him. He's actually a producer in Hollywood. He produces Survivor, The Apprentice, The Emmys, Shark Tank, all these good shows. You know, just awesome. Here was the thing, and I didn't realize this. I thought she was a believer. He's a Christian. I mean, man, they were talking about their faith, and it was awesome. And actually, we got to preview a 12-hour miniseries that they have coming out in this spring that they've produced entitled The Bible. You know, and just to hear somebody like Mark Burdett stand up and say, you know what, we want to be authentic in sharing the message that God has in His Word. It was unbelievable. It was beautiful. Of course, Connie, as soon as they were done, she ran out and she got her picture taken. Notice she smiled a lot bigger there than she did with me, right? And then later on, we're like doing worship and this guy came on. Michael W. Smith. Okay. He was actually there. They didn't say he was going to be there. We had no idea he was going to be there. All of a sudden, he was just behind the keyboard and he was leading us in worship. And I was sitting down from Connie. I looked down. Connie looked like a 13-year-old at a Justin Bieber concert. All right. And as you can see there, she's like, wow, this is a lot better than John. We just had a great, great time with him. Well, that was awesome. And then she just got her picture taken with the best of the best, okay? This is actually coming home. I mean, look at her. She's like grinning like a little child. And it's like, man, she just loved having lunch with Ross, you know? And that capped it off. But we had a great time at Catalyst. And you're going to hear and see. And hopefully, some things that we learned there is going to make a real difference, not only in our lives as leaders, but in your lives. And I just want to take a minute and say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because of you, we're able to do that. Okay? Because of you guys, we're able to do things like that and to go away. And, you know, just the funds, you know, the resources to be able to do that. It was just awesome. And I just want to thank you for allowing us time away, resources to go and experience that. It was a marvelous time. Well, let's jump in. Last week, we started talking about this word, Christian. And we asked ourselves, what does it mean? You know, talked about 1.5 billion hits on Google about Christian, but yet nobody really understands. It can mean almost anything to anybody. You know, that Jesus never said, call yourselves Christians. That the believers in the early New Testament, they never said, call us Christians. That Christian really was a term coined by the world to describe this group of nerdy people that acted and dressed and lived a certain way. Oh, they're Christians. Okay? We talked last week about how Jesus called us to call ourselves something much more terrifying. A disciple. And how you can almost do anything and live any way and call yourself a Christian. Hide behind that term Christian. But if you're really a disciple, you got to act like Jesus. Because that's the difference. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are a learner. You are a follower. You are a fanatic. That's where the word fan comes from. And God wants us to live and act that way. You know, this past week, I was just thinking to myself in preparation for this, and I went on a journey through the Bible to say, I want to find a passage of Scripture that describes exactly what God wants us to be. That God is using to describe His kingdom, His followers, His family, the disciples of Christ. There's got to be a Scripture that boils all this down about how we live and how we act and how we what we believe. There's got to be one. And I'm going through the Bible and I think I came up with it. Okay? It's from 1 John chapter 4. Okay, and if you have your Bible, turn there. It's an extended passage I'm going to read to you. It'll be up on the screen also. But listen to what he says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now let me just stop for a second. I underlined all these words because I wanted you to see he just talks about love, 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 love. It's not a song, folks. It's a way of life. And if you really want to understand what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a Christian, you got to understand love. Because he says here, because God is love. Let me continue. Verse 9. "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." I don't know if you do this or not. I like to mark in my Bible. You know, I got this crazy electronic thing now and you can't really mark. But if you mark, mark. Mark that verse. Underline it. Put a magic marker through it. Use a highlighter. Look at that verse, because that verse is absolutely crucial in life. Because if you want to understand what it means to be a Christian, this is it. "Not that we love God, but that He loved us. He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." Verse 11. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God." Folks, listen, that's so crucial. You want to know what a Christian is? You want to know what a believer is? You want to know what a disciple is? That's it. "If anybody acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God." Verse 16. "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us." How many times does He have to say it? "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." That's what it means to be a believer. That's what it means to be a disciple. But you know what, folks? I want to talk to you today about leaving that. Because I don't know about you, but when I read those verses of Scripture, it's like, man, that's awesome. I mean, God loves us and we love God and God's in us, and that's for His love's in us, and we can love others because God's love in us. You know, that is awesome. Who would ever leave such a life? But you know what, folks? There's a lot of people out there, and there's some of us here this morning that have done just that. We've quit. Now maybe we've come back, and if we've come back, that's a wonderful thing. But there's a lot of people out there that have just quit on God. And I want to encourage you today not to do that. Have you ever heard of this lady? This is just a compilation of books by a lady named Anne Rice. Are you familiar with her work? She's written a lot of books about vampires and things. Her genre is called metaphysical gothic writing. Not my thing. You know, but somebody came up to me after first service and they said, "Oh, I've read several of her books, Pastor John. They're just awesome." And she's known as one of the best top most influential writers, authors in the world today. She sold millions and millions and millions of books, all kinds of things about vampires. Here's the thing. She was raised in a Christian home. But then when she became an adult, she quit. Matter of fact, if you study her life, she walked away from Christianity and she became what she described as an atheist. Okay? She did not believe. She was not a follower. She denied the power of God. She denied even the existence of God. Until, some years ago, something happened. 1998 actually is when it happened. She came back to God. She embraced the faith that she had been taught as a child, and she came back to God. And the interesting thing was that when she came back to God, things really did change. She started writing new kinds of books. This is actually a picture of one of her books called Christ the Lord Out of Egypt. She wrote a book about the life of Christ. Actually, she had a desire to write a trilogy about the life of Christ. And that was the first book, Out of Egypt in 05. She wrote a second book called Christ the Lord, The Road to Canaan in 2008. And then she had a third book planned. But the interesting thing was that she actually wrote a book describing her return to faith. And I want to read you a quote out of that book. Okay, this is what she said and how she returned to faith. After being raised in the church, left the church, was a self-avowed atheist for years and decades, came back to faith, and this is what she said. This is profound. Listen to this. I don't have it on the screen, but I want you to hear this. This is unbelievable. She said, quote, "In the moment of surrender, I let go of all the theological or social questions which had kept me from God for countless years. I simply let go. There was the sense, profound and wordless, that if He knew everything, I didn't have to know everything. And that in seeking to know everything, I'd been all my life missing the entire point. No social paradox, no historical disaster, no hideous record of injustice or misery should keep me from Him. No question of spiritual integrity, no torment over the faith of my atheist or gay friends, no worry for those condemned or ostracized by the church or any other church should stand between me and my God." The reason? It was magnificently simple. Listen to what she says. He knew how and why everything happened. He knew the disposition of every single soul. He wasn't going to let anything happen by accident. And nobody was going to go to hell by mistake. This lit up the internet a few years ago when she testified of her renewed faith in God. Well, you know, the sad thing was that she's raised in the church, she became an atheist, she came back to faith, and she wrote these two books, Out of Darkness, Spiritual Confession, Spiritual Confession, and then she wrote the trilogy, Christ the Lord Out of Egypt in 05, Christ the Lord, The Road to Canaan in 08, and she had planned the third book, Christ the Lord, The Kingdom of Heaven, but it was canceled. You know why it was canceled? It was canceled because of this post that she put on Facebook just this past year. She says, quote, "For those who care, and I understand if you don't, today I quit being a Christian. I'm out. I remain committed to Christ as always, but not to being Christian or to being part of Christianity. It's simply impossible for me to belong to this quarrelsome, hostile, disputatious..." By the way, I'd look that word up. Maybe you're smarter than I am and you understand what that means. But you know what that word means? That word means, these other words that she uses here really define what disputatious is. It's just quarrelsome, hostile, disputatious, deservedly infamous group. That's what she calls Christians. "For 10 years I've tried. I've failed. I'm an outsider. My conscience will allow nothing else." She quit. I want to spend the next few minutes, folks, encouraging you not to quit. As a matter of fact, don't be a quitter. And often, you know, if you're like me, but I've had for years on my computer You know how you set up passwords and things for different accounts and stuff like that, and you know, bank accounts and stuff, and they ask you a security question? You know, what's your maiden name, what's your favorite color, whatever. I had this security question that I've used for years. Now I'm going to have to change it because I'm going to tell you. Okay? But I had this security question. It's like, what's your favorite sports team? And for years, for over a decade, it was the Colts. Okay? And then they went and traded my boy. And you know what I realized? I'm not a Colts fan anymore. Matter of fact, I just realized, I'm going to go home and I'm going to change it from the Colts. I'm going to put the Globetrotters in there because they're the ones that never lose. Okay? That's going to be my security question. What's your favorite sports team? I'm into the Globetrotters because I will never have to suffer a defeat again, right? My team disappointed me. And we have that all the time. I mean, my daughter, she said to me, and rightly so, she said, "Dad, you're no fan." I mean, fans stick in there. Fans don't give up. You know, kind of like pirate fans. Right? I mean, my friend Carl DeCasters, man, he is so into it. And I'm like, "God, give the Pirates a World Series win before Carl comes to heaven." You know? He deserves it because he has been there the whole time. And you know what, folks? One of the saddest things I think that there is people that just quit. I mean, we all know them. We know people that, boy, they were so excited about God. They gave their heart to the Lord. Things were really happening. And then all of a sudden, the mess of life happens. You know what I'm saying? I mean, life is just messy. And then we just walk away. And the God that we believed in, all of a sudden we're disillusioned with God. It's like, "You know what, God? You don't care about me quite as much as I thought you did. Adios." Or people disappoint us, and we say, "You know what? Somebody said something," or better yet, "Somebody didn't say something." Or we say, "You know what? You know what somebody did to me? You know what somebody did to me at that church? Or you know what somebody didn't do for me?" And all of a sudden, we walk away from this beautiful relationship with God and with His family because we're disappointed in Him or in someone else. You know, that's just a tragedy. And you know what? I kind of get what Ann Rice is saying because I kind of agree with her, you know. She's just looking out the church. And basically what she's saying is that you people that are part of Christianity, part of the church, you're not treating God or each other nearly as good as He says for you to. That's really what she's saying. I mean, when she says, "I'm not giving up on God, I'm just giving up on those Christians, those disputatious Christians." I get it, man. I'm telling you, I get it because that happens a lot. Matter of fact, let me tell you a quick little tidbit here. Not too long ago, I was out in the community, ran into somebody. You know, I said hello. We're talking, and I said, "You know, you look familiar." And they said, "You know, I used to. Have you ever heard that? I used to go to your church." Now, right away, I always fight the urge. I want to give them this little lecture about, "Wait a minute, it's not my church." You know, but I don't usually go there because people, I know what they mean. "You know, I used to go to your church." And then I ask, "You don't anymore?" And they're like, "No, I haven't been there in quite a long time." And then I said, "It's a true story, okay? I'm not making this up." I said, "Well, what happened? Why aren't you there anymore?" "Man, we're loving, we're serving, we got stuff going on, we got kids everywhere, we're teaching people about Jesus. You know, I mean, we know what our purpose is. Boy, we're here to bring glory and honor to God and to enjoy Him, not just today, but forever. Our mission is to help people fall in love with Jesus. Why aren't you there anymore?" You know what they said? I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. They looked at me, said, "Why aren't you there anymore?" And they said, or he said, "Because of you." You know, listen, God, I'm just human. Well, all of a sudden I'm saying, "Me? What did I do?" And then I asked him, "You know, explain that to me. You know, describe that to me. Tell me that. I certainly want to make this right if I need to." And then in their description of what they felt like really happened, I was so relieved because in explaining what they meant by that, what he really told me was that it wasn't me, it was you. And I was like, "Phew, man, I was like sweating that there for a minute." I mean, isn't that the way people are? Even isn't that the way we are sometimes? Listen, guys, don't be a quitter. The whole passage that I read to you just a minute ago is all about that God didn't give up on you. That God loved you even though you weren't lovely. That God came down and saved you even though to some degree you weren't worth saving, but to Him you were. That whole passage is all about how we need to love God because God loved us and how we need to love each other because God's love is inside of us. Don't be a quitter. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God's team, the church. Don't give up on what God wants to do in your life. Because the reality of it, and this is so key, the reality of it is that there's all kinds of people quitting. I mean, there's statistics out there that say that people are walking away from the traditional church, that people are walking away from their faith, that people, just like Anne Rice, is saying, you know what, I still want to be spiritual, I still believe in God, I still think that Jesus was God's Son, but they just give up. Give up on a community of faith because they do not see the authenticity within the walls that God wants to be there. And you know what, folks? We just should not deny that. We shouldn't say, you know what, that's not happening. The people aren't doing that. We just need to understand the reality that it is happening. But I think the bigger question to answer and to ask is what's causing it? What's the cause of people walking away from their faith? I mean, that guy said to me, you know, I quit because of you. You know, and basically what he ended up saying was that, you know, I just wasn't being fed. I am sick of that. Sometimes, I want to be honest with you, I am sick of whining Christians that say that. Because let me tell you something, you're as close to God as you want to be. I mean, God has sent His Son. God has sent His Spirit. We have His Word. We have resources in this land that we have never had before. We have such wonderful stuff out there that will help us find God. And I'm telling you, this church is doing great work in helping people find God. And it just makes my skin crawl when people say, you know what? I just wasn't being fed. Well, push up to the table, guy. And get a fork in your hand, get a knife in your hand, and start eating. Because you know what? Because then when you're as forceful as they want you to be, say, you know what? I just couldn't go there anymore because they were pushy. You know, he was just like pushing stuff down my throat. You know, you just can't win. You know why you can't win? Because we're human. Because we are the flesh and we're not depending on the Spirit of God enough. But here's the thing, folks. And I think there's examples of this in the Bible. He's talking about the cause. I think a lot of people quit spiritually or emotionally before they do physically. I mean, think about when Jesus was in the upper room and He had the disciples there around Him. And He said to Judas, He said, Judas, what you do, do quickly. And Judas then got up and left, but he was already gone. He had already checked out. He had already investigated what he could get out of this deal. He had already secretly arranged to deny and to deliver Jesus to the authorities. He was already gone. And I think sometimes there's people like that, you know. There's people that they've not checked out yet physically, but spiritually they're just not there anymore. You know, the joy of the Lord is just not there anymore. And we have to understand, folks, that that happens a lot of times. But see, folks, what's really great about this is that God never lets us just walk away as a quitter. Because even when we want to quit, and even when we do quit, God still pursues us as that hound of heaven. You know? And listen, I am so thankful for that. Now let me give you a couple things here that I think is really helpful. I call it the three R's. Okay? The three R's of really getting serious about your faith. The three R's of really understand how not to be a quitter. The three R's about how to not take your ball and go home because you're disappointed in God or somebody hurt your feelings. You know what? I'm just thankful for those souls in the kingdom of God that are just there. They're just always there. You think they ever got their feelings hurt? Sure they did. You know? But they're there. They never give up. They work through those things and they never allow the devil to convince them that the thing they need to do is quit. Here's the first R. The first R is redemption. Now, sometimes in church, I try to update language, you know. Because a lot of times, you know, you have these church words, these churchy terms that we've used for decades. And a lot of times new folks, new believers, younger people, they don't understand them. Okay? I can't do that with this word. Listen, folks, if you're here, if you're a believer, if you're seeking God, and if you want to depend on Him, you need to understand what redemption is about. Psalm 111 says, He, meaning God, provided redemption for His people. David says in Psalm 130, there he describes Him, being God, as being full of redemption. Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Now those may sound like churchy terms to you or scriptures that are old and archaic, but listen, folks, they are so true. Do you understand what redemption is? Redemption has to do with deliverance. It has to do with rescuing. It's almost like you've fallen down the well in the mess of your life, and Lassie has come and has gone back and barked at God and told Him where you are in the well. And that God comes and He's rescued you. Remember little Jessica years ago that fell down that well in Texas? I mean, I remember, man, I was just a young person then. And I remember watching that TV, and when they pulled that little girl up out of that well, and she was alive, and you saw that little arm moving. She was alive. She was rescued. And the people that rescued her were instantly famous. God has rescued you. And to think that we would walk away from that and not honor that and not shout it from the rooftop what God has done for us, to quit on our rescuer, our redeemer, the one that has taken us out of this horrible situation and done this for us. Reconciliation. The three R's, redemption. The second one is reconciliation. Romans chapter 11 says, from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You understand what that means? He reconciled us and then gave us a ministry of reconciliation. You know, I've got this one sister, and she's so, I love her to death. She's so cool. Her job in our family is to make sure that we don't stop loving each other. You know, here's the conversation. John, I was talking to our sister, and she was telling me about talking to you. You know, you need to call her, okay? Which translates, John, you've hurt your sister's feelings, okay? Be a big boy and call her and apologize. Or she does this. She did this just a couple of weeks ago, okay? I'm here at church, and my phone, I look on my phone, and there's a message on there, and it's from her. John, I just want to make sure that you don't forget that today's your two sisters' birthday. I have a sister that two sisters that share a birthday 1 year apart. Mom and Dad were busy that year, but anyway. And you know, you make sure you call your sisters and wish them a happy birthday. Oh, that's right. You know, I'd forgot. You know, her job in life is to make sure that we love each other as a family. You see, God has reconciled us. That's 1 John. It's all about God loving us and wanting us to love each other. He's reconciled us, and He wants us to have a ministry of reconciliation. You know what's amazing to me? A lot of people quit because we let them quit. A lot of people walk away because it's like, oh my goodness, I noticed so-and-so. Boy, they've really been out of shape, man. I hope they get over that. Woo! Maybe God needs you to encourage them. Talk to them. Explain to them. Maybe God needs you to go and say, you know what, that person that you're really mad at, you shouldn't be mad at them. They haven't hurt you. They've not done anything to you. They want the best for you. They love you. Because it's the devil that does that. The devil tries to put a wedge in there and push us apart. It's all about reconciliation. Here's the third one. It's all about restoration. You know, I love Psalm 23, that He leads us, He guides us, He restores us. You know, He makes right that which has been made wrong. And so many times, these three R's, because we don't understand our own redemption, because we're unwilling to be reconciled, not only to God, to our brothers and sisters, because we don't allow God to restore us into a beautiful relationship with Him and with each other, that's why we quit. You know, I quit being a fan of a sports team because they disappointed me. Well, maybe they need my encouragement. You know what? I'm not making light of this. That's one of the things around here I love about you guys. I mean, everything that you guys, we've been through with the whole Penn State situation, and to see you guys, you know, and us here, I mean, we're there, we're supporting. You know, stadium is filled. That's important. Because it's not just about yesterday, it's about today and tomorrow. And today and tomorrow is always more about redemption than it is about our failings. Today and tomorrow is always about being reconciled and being made right rather than allowing those things to continue to drive us apart. It's all about restoring. Real quickly, Jim Harding, one of the guys here at church, he has a 1951, I think, a Willie Jeepster. That was it, sorry. A Willie Jeepster. Have you ever seen this? It's like banana yellow. It's awesome. And he loves it. But I remember going to Jim's house one time and he showed me in the garage he had like four of these things in parts. And he made one beautiful car out of those four broken down, dilapidated ones. That's what God wants to do. By the way, when we came here 20 years ago, Arlene and I, we were offered the position of a pastor here. We were contemplating, you know, that. And Jim and Judy came and picked us up in that Willie Jeepster and took us to the Meadows and bought us an ice cream. And Arlene said, seriously, she said, John, I think God is speaking to me. I mean, a Meadows ice cream and a restored car. How about it? Restoration. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, before I close, let me share with you one more scripture. It comes from Hebrews chapter 6. And it's a marvelous passage. And it's one of the most misunderstood and debated passages in all the Word. It says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. Now, a lot of times, you know, Christians want to debate, what does that mean? And does that mean that it's possible to lose your salvation? Or does that mean that, no, it's not possible to lose your salvation. He's talking about something different there. And you know what? We can talk about that. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at this passage of Scripture. But to me, when I read that passage of Scripture, before I'm struck by the theology of it, I'm struck by the sadness of it. That he's describing a group of people here who have tasted, who have been enlightened, who have shared in the Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of God, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and quit. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, how can you know God and quit? How can you experience the goodness of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the redemption of God, the reconciliation and the restoration? How can you experience that and walk away? That's what he's saying. And to me, the theology of it is interesting, but the sadness of it is just crushing. Because there are people that walk away from the goodness of God. But you know what, folks? I think I'm probably talking to some people right now. That you're not gone yet, but you're gone. You've experienced the disappointment of God and the disappointment of people and the mess of life in such a way that you're just ready to walk away. That you're like Anne Rice. You know what? These disputatious Christians, I'm going to use that word a lot. I'm just through with them. But you know what, folks? I disagree with her. I don't think you can walk away from the kingdom of God and the family of God and still stay close to God. Because God has called us to love Him and to love each other and not quit. You know what? I'm gonna change my mind. And I'm going to keep the Colts as that password. I'm going to add something to it so you can't hack my account. But I don't want to give up on them. And I don't want to give up on God either. And you know what else? I don't want to give up on you. And I don't want you to give up on me. Because we should be in this together for life. Really? For eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I just lift up to you together here this morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, for those that might be here today and have not yet become a part of the kingdom of God, Lord, may they know that they're welcome here. That we're all just sinners saved by grace, struggling, Lord, with life as they are. And that we don't claim that we'll be perfect, but we will claim that we'll be perfect in His love. And that, Father, the way that He has loved us, we want to love Him. The way that He has loved us, we want to love others. That's what it means to be a Christian, Father. And help us to be one. And to never, ever, ever quit. In His name we pray. Amen.